Star Wars, The Last Command by Timothy Zahn. Continued. Cassette number 13, side 1. Ahead, space was filling with flashes of laser fire as the opposing starfighter squadrons began to engage. Settling himself comfortably in his chair, Pelion glanced over his displays and prepared his mind for battle. For battle and for victory. Watch it, Rogue Leader. You've picked up a couple of tails. The voice of Rogue Two came in Wedge's ear. Rogue Six? Right with you, Rogue Two, the other confirmed. Double chop on three. One, two. Bracing himself, Wedge threw his X-Wing into a wild scissors roll. The two TIE fighters, trying to match his maneuver while at the same time not overshooting him, probably never even saw the other two X-Wings drop into position behind them. Two messy explosions later, Wedge was clear. Thanks, he said. No problem. What now? I don't know, he admitted, taking a quick look at the battle raging around them. So far, Admiral Akbar was still holding his star cruisers together in combat formation. But the way the periphery support ships were being hammered by the Imperials, the whole thing could dissolve into the mass confusion of a brawl at any minute. In which event, the starfighter squadrons would be basically on their own, hitting wherever and whatever they could. Which they were, for all practical purposes, doing now anyway. The trick would be to find something really effective to hit. Rogue Two must have followed the same reasoning. You know, Rogue Leader, it occurs to me that those Imperials wouldn't have so many ships available to pound us with if they had to protect their shipyard at the same time. Wedge craned his neck to look at the blaze of lights off in the near distance. Silhouetted against them, he could make out the dark, brooding outlines of at least four Golan II battle stations. Agreed, he said. But I think it would take more than an attack by even the legendary Rogue Squadron to make them that nervous. Commander Antilles, this is Fleet Central Communications, a brisk voice cut in. I have a signal coded urgent coming in for you under a New Republic diplomatic encrypt. Do you want to bother with it? Wedge blinked. A diplomatic encrypt way out here? I suppose so. Sure, put it through. Yes, sir. There was a click. Hello, Antilles. A vaguely familiar voice said dryly in his ear. Nice to see you again. The feeling's mutual, I'm sure, Wedge said, frowning. Who is this? Oh, come now, the other chided. Have you forgotten already those wonderful times we spent together outside the Mumbri Storve Cantina? The Mumbri Storve? Aves? Hey, very good, Aves said. Your memory's getting better. You people are starting to be hard to forget, Wedge told him. Where are you? Right smack in the middle of that big blaze of Imperial lights off on your flank, Aves said, his voice turning a little grim. I wish you'd told me you were hitting this place instead of Tang Green like we thought. I wish you'd told me what that little job of yours was all about, Wedge countered. Did a good job of fooling each other, didn't we? Sure did. Fooled everybody except the Grand Admiral. Tell me about it. So is this just a social call or what? It could be, Aves said. Or it couldn't. See, in about 90 seconds, some of us are going to make a grab for the CGT array we came here to get. After that, it's a quick goodbye and we punch our way out. Punching their way out from an Imperial shipyard. And he made it sound so easy, too. Good luck. Thanks. The reason I mention it is that it doesn't matter much to us which direction we pick to punch through. Thought it might make a difference to you. Wedge felt a tight smile tugging at his lip. It might at that, he said. Like, say, if you were to come out near those Golan IIs out there, Maybe hitting them a little from behind on the way. Looks like a good route to me, Avis agreed. Course, it'll get nasty outside the perimeter. All those ships and things taking pot shots and all. I don't suppose you could find a way to give us a friendly escort from that point on. Wedge looked over at the lights, thinking it over. It could work, all right. If Aves' people were able to knock out even one of those Golan IIs, it would open up the shipyard to a New Republic incursion. Unless the Imperials were willing to sacrifice it, they would have to shift some of their battle force over there to close the puncture and chase down any ships that had gotten in. And, from the smugglers' point of view, having an influx of New Republic warships to sneak through on their way out would give them better cover than they would get anywhere else along the perimeter. All in all, a pretty fair exchange. You've got a deal, he told Aves. Give me a couple of minutes and I'll get that escort arranged. A friendly escort, don't forget, Aves warned, if you know what I mean. I know exactly what you mean, Wedge assured him. The traditional Mon Calamari loathing for smugglers and smuggling was the stuff of wardroom legend, and Wedge didn't want to get caught in the middle of that any more than Aves did. Probably why the smuggler had come to him instead of offering his assistance to Akbar and the fleet commanders directly. Don't worry, I've got it covered. Okay. Whoops, there goes the first charge. See you. The comm clicked off. We're going in? Rogue 11 asked. We're going in, Wedge confirmed, bringing his X-Wing around in a tight starboard turn. Rogue 2, give command a quick update and tell them we need some support. Don't mention Aves by name. Just tell them we're coordinating with an independent resistance group inside the shipyards. Got it, Rogue Leader. What if Akbar doesn't want to risk it? Rogue 7 put in. Wedge looked out at the lights of the shipyard. So once again, as it had so many times before, it was all going to come down to a matter of trust. Trust in a farm kid, fresh off a backward desert world, to lead him in an attack on the first Death Star. Trust in a former high-stakes gambler, who might or might not have had any real combat experience, to lead him in an attack on the second Death Star. And now, trust in a smuggler who might just as easily betray him for the right price. It doesn't matter, he said. With or without support, we're going in. Mara's lightsaber flashed, slicing viciously through the clone Luke. The clone fell, its lightsaber clattering to the floor, and lay still. And suddenly, the buzzing pressure in Luke's mind was gone. He rose to his feet in front of the still, sparking viewscreen he'd lured the clone to, taking what felt like the first clean breath he'd had in hours. The ordeal was finally over. Thank you, he said quietly to Mara. She took a step back from the dead clone. No problem. Brain all clear now? So she'd been able to sense the buzzing in his mind. He'd wondered about that. Yes, he nodded, taking another wonderfully clean breath. How about yours? She threw him a look that was half amused, half ironic. But for the first time since they'd met, he could see that the pain and hatred were gone from her eyes. I did what he wanted me to, she said. It's over. Luke looked back across the throne room. Carda had tied the Vornsker's leashes to the collapsed catwalk and was picking his way carefully across the wreckage. Han, on his feet now, was helping a still groggy Leia out from under the section that had fallen on her. Leia, Luke called, you all right? I'm fine, Leia called back. Just a little banged up. Let's get out of here, all right? Luke turned back to Kabav. The old Jedi was staring down at the dead clone, his hands working at his sides, his eyes furious and lost and insane. Yes, he agreed. Come on, Mara.
Go ahead, Mara said. I'll be with you in a minute.
Luke eyed her. What are you going to do?
What do you think? She retorted. I'm going to finish the job, like I should have done on Jomark.
Slowly, Cabalth raised his eyes to her.
You will die for this, Mara Jade, he said,
his quiet voice more chilling than any outburst of rage could have been.
Slowly, and in great pain.
Taking a deep breath, curling his hands into fists in front of his chest, he closed his eyes.
We'll see about that, Mara muttered.
Raising her lightsaber, she started toward him.
It began as a distant rumble, more felt than really heard.
Luke looked around the room, senses tingling with a premonition of danger, but he could see nothing out of place. The sound grew louder, deeper, and with a thunderous explosion, the sections of throne room ceiling directly above him and Mara suddenly collapsed in a downpour of gravel-sized rocks.
Look out, Luke shouted, throwing his arms up to protect his head and trying to leap out of the way.
But the center of the rockfall moved with him. He tried again, this time nearly losing his balance as his foot caught in a pile of stones already ankle-deep. Too numerous and too small for him to get a grip on through the force, they kept coming, pummeling against him with bruising impact. Through the dust swirling around him, he saw Mara floundering under a deluge of her own, trying to guard her head with one arm as she slashed vainly at the falling stones with her lightsaber. From across the throne room, Luke could hear Han shouting something, and guessed that they, too, were under the same attack. And, standing untouched by the destructive rock storms he'd unleashed, Cabalth lifted his hands high.
I am the Jedi Master Cabalth, he shouted,
his voice ringing through the throne room and the roar of the rockfalls.
The Empire, the universe, is mine.
Luke dropped his lightsaber back into defense position, senses again tingling with danger. But once again, the knowledge did him little good. Cabalth's lightning burst flashed against the lightsaber blade, the impact knocking Luke off balance and dropping him painfully onto his knees in the pile of stones around him. Even as he struggled to get up, one of the falling rocks slammed hard into the side of his head. He staggered, toppling sideways onto one hand. Again, the lightning flashed, throwing coronal fire all through the stone pile and sending wave after wave of agony through him. The lightsaber was plucked from his fingers. Dimly, he saw it fly over the railing toward the far end of the throne room.
Stop it! Mara screamed.
Through the haze of pain, Luke saw that she was standing up to her knees in stones, her lightsaber slashing uselessly through the mound, as if trying to sweep them away.
If you're going to kill us, just do it.
Patience, my future apprentice, Cabal said.
And squinting through the stones and dust, Luke saw the other's dreamy smile.
You cannot die yet, not until I have taken you down to the Grand Admiral's cloning chamber.
Beneath her rockfall, Mara jerked, her sense flashing with sudden horror.
What?
For I have foreseen that Mara Jade will kneel before me, Cabalth reminded her. One Mara Jade or another.
That's it, Lando said, tapping the activation switch on the last charge. Give it a kick and let's get out of here. From around the central column, Chewbacca growled acknowledgement. Picking up his blaster, Lando stood up, giving each of the doors around the outer walkway a quick look. So far, so good. If they could keep the stormtroopers out for just 2 more minutes, long enough for Chewbacca and him to get off this work platform and out to the walkway. Chewbacca rumbled a warning, Listening closely, Lando could hear the faint rising pitch hum of an extremely unhappy negative flow coupler.
"Great, Chewie," he said. "Let's go."
He stepped out onto the edge of the bridge. And straight ahead of him, the door opposite the bridge blew up.
"Watch it," Lando barked, dropping flat on his stomach on the bridge and pouring blaster fire into the cloud of dust and debris expanding out from where the door had been.
Already, the sizzling blue ripples of stun fire were starting to erupt from the doorway in their general direction. Behind him, the roar of Chewbacca's bowcaster was answering.
So much for those last 2 minutes.
And with his face pressed as close to the metal mesh floor as he could get it, Lando found himself looking at the bridge. At the bridge, and the thin but sturdy guardrails running along both sides of it. It was crazy, but that didn't mean it wouldn't work.
"Chewie, get over here," he called, rolling halfway over and throwing a quick look up at the bridge control set into the top of the work platform guardrail.
Extension control. There. Retraction control. Emergency stop control. The bridge shook as Chewbacca landed with a thud on the bridge beside him.
"Keep them busy," Lando told him.
Gauging the distance, he lunged upward, jabbing the retraction control and the emergency stop in quick succession. The bridge lurched out from the work platform and stopped, just far enough for its locking bars to disengage. Chewbacca rumbled a question as the bridge bobbed gently with the strain of their weight.
"You'll see," Lando told him.
From both sides came flashes of light as two more doors disintegrated.
"Just hang on to the guardrail supports and keep firing. Here we go."
Getting a firm grip himself, he aimed carefully and opened fire. But not at the stormtroopers now charging out onto the circular walkway. His shots were directed instead at the far end of the bridge, throwing out clouds of sparks as they vaporized sections of the mesh flooring and dug chunks out of the structural support bars beneath. The bridge lurched, bobbing even harder now, as Lando continued to hammer away at its structural integrity. Beside him, Chewbacca rumbled a savage Wookiee phrase that Lando had never heard him use before. And with a horrible shriek of strained metal, the bridge suddenly gave way. Connected to the walkway only by the still intact guardrails, it pivoted ponderously downward. Lando gripped the guardrail tightly as their horizontal position changed rapidly toward a vertical one. And with a crash that nearly jarred him loose, the bridge slammed up against the guardrail of the cloning balcony 3 levels down.
"This is our stop," Lando said. "Come on."
Jamming his blaster awkwardly into its holster, he swung himself around the steeply angled bridge guardrail to drop onto the cloning balcony floor. Chewbacca, with his natural arboreal skills, was there a good 3 seconds ahead of him. They were halfway to the balcony's exit door, dodging between the rows of Sperti cylinders, when the column behind them blew up. The charges went first, blowing sections of cable and pipework in a series of dazzling fireballs all around the column's perimeter. An evil-looking cloud of smoke and dust and flash-vaporized nutrient liquids swirled into the air, obscuring the view. From all sides, multicolored fluids began spraying out. The work platform they'd been standing on a minute earlier broke free of its supports and slid roughly down the column, tearing and damaging more equipment as it fell. From inside the cloud came a sputtering of shorted power lines and secondary explosions, each one adding to the rain of debris. And with a horrible creaking of strained and shattered supports, the external layers of the column began to peel away and fall almost leisurely outward. Over the din, Chewbacca roared a warning.
"Me neither," Lando shouted back. "Let's get out of here."
10 seconds later, bursting past the single token guard who'd been left on this level's exit door, they were out. They were 2 corridors away, when they felt the distant vibration as the column crashed to the cloning cavern floor.
Okay, Lando panted,
pausing and glancing both ways as they reached a cross corridor. R2 must have done a good job with those troop reassignments. The whole area seemed deserted.
Exits that direction, he told Chewbacca, pulling out his comlink. We'll call the others and get out of here.
He keyed for Han, and jerked back as the comlink erupted with a loud crackling noise.
Han, he called.
Lando?
Han's voice came back, almost inaudible over the noise.
Right, Lando confirmed. What's happening up there?
This crazy Jedi's dropping the roof in on us, Han shouted. Leia and me have a little cover, but he's got Luke and Mara out in the open. Where are you?
Down near the cloning cavern, Lando gritted.
If that arrhythmic resonance thing of Chewbacca's worked, one of the mountain's reactors would already be starting to flicker with instabilities.
If they didn't get out of the mountain before it blew...
You want us to come up and help? Don't bother, Carter's voice cut in grimly. There's already a large pile of stone in front of the turbo lift. Looks like we're here for the duration.
Chewbacca snarled, his voice filled with frustration.
Forget it, Chewie. There's nothing you could do anyway, Han told him. We've still got Luke and Mara. Maybe they can stop him.
What if they can't? Lando demanded, stomach twisting inside him. Look, you haven't got much time. We think we've got an arrhythmic resonance going on in the power core.
Good, Han said. Means Kabaoth won't get out either.
Han.
Go on, get out of here, Han cut him off.
Chewie, it's been great. But if we don't make it, someone beside Winter is going to have to take care of Jason and Jaina. You got that?
The wild card is waiting where you came in, Carter added. They'll be expecting you.
Right, Lando said, gritting his teeth.
Good luck.
He keyed off and jammed the comlink back in his belt. Han was right. There wasn't anything they could do against Kabaoth from down here. But with the wild card as turbo lasers and R2's set of floor plans...
Come on, Chewie, he said, turning toward their exit and breaking into a run. It's not over yet.
Perhaps it is for the best, Kabaoth murmured, gazing at Luke sadly as he stepped toward him.
Blinking the dust away from his eyes, Luke looked up at the old Jedi, trying to force back the agony still throbbing through him. The agony and the looming sense of defeat. Kneeling on the floor, encased in stones to above his waist, with more still falling on him, facing an insane Jedi Master who wanted to kill him. No. A Jedi must act when he is calm, at peace with the Force. Master Kabaoth, listen to me, he said. You're not well. I know that. But I can help you. A dozen expressions flicked across Kabaoth's face, as if he were trying various emotions on for size.
Can you now?
He said, settling on wry amusement.
And why should you do that for me?
Because you need it, Luke said. And because we need you. You have a vast store of experience and power that you could use for the good of the New Republic. Kabaoth snorted.
The Jedi Master Jorus Kabaoth does not serve lesser peoples, Jedi Skywalker.
Why not? All the great Jedi Masters of the Old Republic did.
And that was their failing, Kabaoth said, jabbing
a finger at Luke.
That was why the lesser peoples rose up and killed them.
But they didn't.
Enough, Kabaoth thundered. It doesn't matter what you think the lesser peoples need from me. I am the one who will decide that. They will accept my rule or they will die.
His eyes flashed.
You had that choice, Jedi Skywalker. And more, you could have ruled beside me. Instead, you chose death.
A drop of sweat or blood trickled down the side of Luke's face. What about Mara? Cabal shook his head.
Mara Jade is no longer any concern of yours, he said. I will deal with her later.
No, Mara snapped. You will deal with me now.
Luke looked over at her. The stones were still raining down above her head. But to his astonishment, the knee-high pile of rock that had been trapping her in place was gone. And now he saw why. Those lightsaber slashes she'd been making earlier hadn't been the useless sweeping motions that he'd assumed. Instead, she'd been slicing huge gashes in the floor, releasing the stones to drain through to the monitor area below. Raising her lightsaber, she charged. Cabal swung around to face her, his face contorted with rage.
No,
he screamed. And again, the blue-white lightning crackled from his fingertips. Mara caught the burst on her lightsaber, her mad rush faltering as coronal fire burned all around her. Cabal fired again and again, backing toward the throne and the solid wall behind it. Doggedly, Mara kept coming. Abruptly, the rockfall over her head ceased. From the edge of the pile that had half-buried Luke, stones began flying toward Cabal. Curving around behind him, they shot straight into Mara's face. She staggered backward, squeezing her eyes shut against the hailstorm and throwing up her right elbow to try to block them away. Setting his teeth, Luke tried to heave away the stones weighing him down. He couldn't leave Mara to fight alone. But it was no use. His muscles were still too weakened from Cabal's last attack. He tried again anyway, ignoring the fresh pain the effort sent through him. He looked at Mara and saw her face suddenly change. He frowned, and then he heard it too. Leia's voice speaking in his mind. Keep your eyes closed, Mara, and listen to my voice. I can see. I'll guide you.
No, Cabal screamed again. No, she is mine.
Luke looked over at the other end of the throne room, wondering how Cabal would lash out at Leia in retaliation. But there was nothing. Even the stones had stopped falling on the section of catwalk they were all huddled beneath. Perhaps the long battle had finally begun to drain Cabal's strength, and he could no longer risk splitting his attention. Beyond the catwalk, lying half-buried in the pile of stone that now blocked the turbolift door, Luke spotted the metallic glint of his lightsaber. If he could call it to him and regain enough strength to join Mara's battle. And then, another motion caught his eye. Tied to the catwalk to one side, untouched by the rockfall that had attacked their owner, Carda's pet Fornskers were tugging at their leashes, straining toward Mara and toward Cabal. This book is continued at this point on the other side of this cassette. Please reverse or turn the cassette over now.